Since August 2017, more than 700,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled military violence in their home country of Myanmar to seek refuge in neighboring Bangladesh. A majority of the Rohingya refugees left their country last fall, but hundreds are still entering Bangladesh's refugee camps every week. Pavlo Kolovos is the head of Mission for Doctors Without Borders in Bangladesh, and he's been working in one of the most densely populated camps in the country. Pavlo, glad you're with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us which camp you've been working most closely with and what the living conditions are like there.
Well, actually, you know, to talk about which camp in particular, there really is only one camp. I mean, the density of this refugee camp is astounding. The Kutupalong camp is the original refugee camp that had been established many years ago. And when people started coming in large numbers, they were settling in makeshift settlements just aroundside that camp. And now it's just one massive camp of nearly 800,000 people. It's been quite a process, but the vast majority of them came in quite traumatized and getting their bearings. Although some were familiar with coming into Bangladesh from before because they didn't have any healthcare services in Myanmar, and so that sometimes they would come and seek service in Bangladesh. The vast majority of them, it's a complete strange land for them.
And you've had to dramatically expand the medical facilities in the camps over the past year. What are some of the main health challenges that refugees are facing?
Well, so Doctors Without Borders has expanded its operations by more than 10 times in the last 6 months. The first health challenges that we dealt with such an incredible influx of people was identifying the risk for outbreak. These people had not been receiving regular medical care in Myanmar for many, many years. So we immediately saw a measles outbreak, which meant we had to support a vaccination campaign immediately. But then we started to see other communicable diseases. The biggest and most surprising of them was diphtheria, which is a vaccine-preventable disease. But unfortunately, the vaccine takes several rounds before it gains efficacy. By the time that the outbreak leveled off, we had seen more than 6,000 diphtheria patients. On top of that, the risk for waterborne disease is constant and massive, given the density of the population and the issues with hygiene and waste removal inside the camp. And then the access to mother and child care, especially for pregnancies and complications with pregnancies, is very dangerous for many of the women there.
What about mental health? Have you noticed also any crises there?
The whole situation leans towards a mental health crisis if you figure so many people being displaced from their homes, unprepared, with such an amount of violence, and also the history of persecution that they've faced, and then the difficulties that they're dealing with in Bangladesh. The level of general trauma is quite high. The specific trauma related to the violence that they faced. We have counseling services in all of our facilities integrated. The Ministry of Health is you know, supports that action. A lot of other actors are looking at the mental health issues, but I think that when we look at the general precariousness of where they're living and how they're living, it's difficult to meet the basic needs, and including mental health.
And in the next couple of months, monsoon season is set to begin. How are you expecting the rains to affect the camps?
So when the refugees first started coming in last September and October, it was the tail end of the monsoon season, and it's difficult to describe what happens to these hills when they get saturated with water. The mud turns into this kind of slippery pudding that people are trying to move around on. So even just the basics of like moving in and out of the camp, access to the camp is extremely limited. There's one road that runs to the periphery of it from which the camp started, and then they've built one road through it. But imagine a city of nearly 800,000 people that just has one road going through it and one road going around it. So it means that people have to walk through areas, these undulating hills that are slippery and dangerous. And so that means that they won't be able to access distributions of food and housing material as the houses start to fall apart under the weather conditions. They also won't be able to easily access health facilities.
Pavlo Kolovos is the head of Mission for Doctors Without Borders in Bangladesh. Pavlo, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.